The scripture reading for this morning is found in the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. We will read verses 1 through 14. John 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So far the reading of God's Word. The text for the sermon is John 1, verse 5, where the Apostle writes, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Beloved congregation, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the prophet says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined." The reference there is, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was to come into this world as the great light. And that is exactly what the Lord Jesus is. He is, as he himself said, the light of the world. Isaiah also said that this light was seen by those who were walking in darkness. And now we find that the Apostle John says the same thing here in chapter 1 of his Gospel. And he ascribes divine glory to Jesus Christ. And he calls him the eternal Word of God. Yes, Christ is the Creator, without whom nothing was made that was made, John says. And then he goes on to say, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And that means that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of all life and light, both natural as well as spiritual. But as the context shows here, John is mainly concerned with the latter, namely with Christ as the light. And he portrays Christ as the eternal fountain from which alone men have obtained spiritual life and light. He is the true light, John says in verse 9, which gives light to everyone that comes into the world. Does that mean that all people are enlightened by Christ in a saving sense? No. Nor is it true that all men rejoice in the light. And we will find that certainly expressed in the words of our text when it says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." What that means, we will see as we will speak about Christ, the light of the world. And we will see that this light, first of all, shines into the darkness. Secondly, is resisted by the darkness. And thirdly, is triumphant over the darkness. And the light shines in the darkness. What exactly does John mean by this statement? Well, first of all, let us ask ourselves, what is meant by light here? According to any dictionary that you might want to consult, would show that light is a form of energy that acts on the retina of the eye. In other words, light is that by which we see. We need light in order to see. But in the Bible, the word light is often used as a synonym for knowledge or understanding. When Christ calls himself the light of the world, he means he is the teacher of mankind, the instructor of men. And he was that already before his incarnation. In the previous verse, John says, "And the light was the light of men." And here, John, of course, refers to that long period of time between Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. And during that period of the Old Testament, Christ, the eternal Word, was the light, namely, the only light in the darkness of this world, which in Adam became darkness. And because of Adam's sin. Darkness in Scripture usually means ignorance. It means guilt and also misery. And this darkness can only be removed, can only be dispelled by the light that comes from heaven. Like the light of the sun in the sky, that light that came from heaven had been shining for centuries already throughout the entire Old Testament dispensation. Not only in Israel, although there it shone more clearly than anywhere else, but also in the rest of the world. Yes, the rest of the world benefited from this light, at least to a degree. In this sense, that whatever good there still was in the pagan world, such as the wisdom of the philosophers, the arts and the sciences, the various systems of morality, etc., etc., all this was the result of the light that was shining in this world's darkness. But now John goes on to say the light shines in the darkness, present tense. Not only was it shining, but now it is still shining. It was shining throughout the old and is still shining throughout the New Testament dispensation. And we can say that the light today is shining more brilliantly than ever before. Why? Well, because the Word, the Logos, has become flesh. Christ has taken on human nature. And Christ, as the true light from heaven, has come into this world's darkness to teach sinners, ignorant sinners, guilty sinners, the way of life. And his efforts to enlighten and save sinners from eternal death is here compared to a light that is struggling to penetrate the thick clouds of the night. Those clouds were very thick and dark when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Not only in the world, but also in Israel. Even in Israel, where God had revealed himself in such a wonderful way to his covenant people. But in Israel, the light of God's truth had almost been snuffed out, extinguished by the religious leaders especially. Yes, Pharisaic legalism had all but extinguished the flame of the gospel of grace. And into this darkness, the eternal Word came as the light of the world. And ever since that happy event in Bethlehem, this great light of which Isaiah spoke has continued to shine. Today is the last Sunday of the period we call Advent. It is a time when we focus special attention on Christ as the light of the world. And that light is shining upon us through the preaching of the Word. And that is a tremendous blessing, congregation. While many people are perishing in the darkness, in the night of sin, we may live in the day of grace. We may still see that light, but do we? The world is preparing for Christmas, not only the church, but also the world. And we see it all around us, the lights of Christmas, Christmas trees and decorations on all the homes. Now, it used to be that, and I was grown up, I grew up in that situation that we were always warning against those lights, that they were false lights. And of course, it is true that many people who have these lights on their homes and in their homes, they don't necessarily understand the meaning of it, the true meaning. But we are also living now in a time when, in our culture, they are trying to suppress anything that reminds us of true Christianity. And so we are living now in a time when the church, in the way of apologetics, should not be so hard on the world if they are still making these lights, because at least it is a reminder that there is great value in the light, and we can only hope, and through the testimony of the church, we must point sinners to the true light, which is so weakly represented by and symbolized by all these Christmas lights. I think we have to kind of shift our strategy in that respect. Because if it is up to the world, then they would put out any light that has anything to do with the gospel. But that said, we know, of course, that the true light can only be the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we see that, as I just said, that so many people are trying to extinguish all that reminds us of the light that the gospel has brought into the world. And therefore I have to say that the darkness in which 21st century people are walking is worse than the darkness of the first century. Because today we have to say that it is a willful darkness that envelops us, a deliberate darkness, a darkness that man has brought upon himself after he has been exposed so wonderfully to the light of the gospel, especially in our Western culture. Yes, in our civilization, the light of the gospel has shone brightly. Think of what the Lord has done for the nations of the West, the blessings, even outward blessings that Christianity has brought. But today, as I just said, that light is being put out everywhere. And why? Why? Well, John gives us the answer. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. What does John mean exactly with that term? The darkness comprehends or does not comprehend the light. Well, the verb comprehend can mean different things. It can mean to understand, and that is how we usually use that word. To comprehend is to grasp, is to understand. But it can also mean, according to the original, to appropriate or even to receive or to welcome the light. And that is, I think, the best interpretation of it. The darkness does not comprehend, meaning the darkness does not receive or welcome or admit the light. And that's interesting because what is impossible in the realm of nature is evidently possible in the realm of the spirit. The darkness of the night, as we all know, usually yields to and fades away before the light of day. But the darkness that is mentioned here is so thick, so impenetrable, that it will not allow the light, namely the light of the gospel, to break through. The world resists that light. What an awful picture we get here of fallen human nature. The light of revelation shines in the world, but man does not appreciate that. Man does not welcome that. You would think that sinners would jump for joy that this light has come into the world. But no, the world prefers to stay in the darkness of sin. It shuns the light of God. Why? Well, because of what light does. Light does not only give knowledge or understanding, but it also exposes something. It reveals the hidden things of darkness, the Apostle Paul says. It shows men and women, boys and girls, what they really are in the sight of God, namely sinful, corrupt creatures. And that is why they do not welcome that light. As the same Apostle John says in chapter 3 of his Gospel, this is the condemnation, that light is come or has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil, John goes on to say, hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. And from the moment that light began to shine in the world, there have been numerous attempts to put that light out. Led by Satan, of course, using human instruments, but that has been his main objective ever since the Lord came with that wonderful promise in Genesis 3:15 that he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and that the Messiah would come to destroy the works of the evil one. The devil has worked overtime to snuff out that light, if at all possible. Why did Cain snuff out his brother Abel's light? Well, because he hated the light that was in him, in his brother. Cain himself was in darkness. But in this darkness came light, God's light, and it showed him that he was a sinner. It revealed his hypocrisy and the worthlessness of his sacrifice. Again, why did people mock Noah? And why did they refuse to listen to his warnings? Well, because they did not like to see things in the light of God's word. The ark that Noah built, it was a testimony against the wicked and immoral lifestyle of that generation. And why did Moses and David and Elijah and all the prophets of the Lord run into opposition, even persecution? It was because they were bearers of that light. And behind all these attempts to put out their light stood Satan, the prince of darkness, very appropriately called here, the prince of darkness. And it was no different in the New Testament. How active the Pharisees were to put out the light that Jesus was diffusing through his preaching and teaching. And we all know that Israel's leaders did not rest until he lay in his grave like a burnt out candle. And they said, away with him, crucify him. But yes, they hated this light. because it exposed their hypocrisy, their sham piety. And things certainly have not improved in our own time. The light of the gospel is still not being comprehended in the sense of being welcomed by the masses. And illustrations of that fact are abundant. The Bible has been banned from our public life, from our public schools, from the markets where, you might say, from public life in general. But while the light of Christianity is being put out everywhere, the artificial light of secular humanism is honored and promoted everywhere. That started, of course, already with the Enlightenment of the 18th century and before that, the Renaissance. But ever since the age of Enlightenment in which we are still living today, even though it has now come even beyond, gone beyond that. But, and this is what I want to say too, that not only do we see that in culture, in the world, but we see it also in the church. In many churches, the pure light of the gospel is today being dimmed and replaced by the so-called new light of scientific research and scholarship, so-called biblical scholarship. Yes. That new wisdom today is thought to bring new light on religion and on moral issues. People don't go by the Bible anymore. They have their own interpretation of everything. And characteristic of this new light is that instead of opposing the darkness that I'm talking now about, what is going on in many churches, they don't say that they are opposing the darkness, but they are trying to blend it in with the light of the world, the light of science. And that, of course, results and has to result in one compromise after another, compromise with the truth. And in congregation, you all know that what used to be regarded as sin, even by many non-Christians, that is now being condoned and even advocated as wholesome and perfectly normal and acceptable. But enough of that. Let me now ask ourselves, have we welcomed that light? The light of God in Jesus Christ. Have we appreciated the coming of that light into the world? Have we welcomed it? That light of which John speaks here shines also in the darkness of your and my sins. And it seeks to break through that darkness and into the darkness. Every sermon is an attempt on the part of God to get into that dark corner of your heart. And what has been your reaction to that so far? Have you perhaps resisted that light until now? Shunning it, avoiding it, hiding from it? How foolish that is. Not only is it sinful and terrible, but it's also foolish. Sooner or later, we will all be exposed to the light if we did not receive it in this life. In the day of judgment, the Bible says that we shall all stand in the bright light of the great white throne, and then our whole life will be like an open book. The books of the consciences will be opened, John says in Revelation. That means all our thoughts and words and deeds will be brought to light. Yes, now it is still possible to try to hide your sins from the Lord and from people, from yourself even. That light, the searchlight of the gospel, you can try to escape it But you can do so only for a little while. You may resist the light now, but in the end it will be victorious over the darkness. But, and that's the issue here, this must take place now. This must happen now before you die. While you are still living in the day of God's grace. I said that according to the Greek, the word comprehend has several meanings. Yes, it can mean receive and appropriate and understand or apprehend. But there is also another possible meaning which has not been mentioned yet. According to many Bible scholars, the word also has the meaning of overcome or overpower. And then we should read the passage this way. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it or triumph over it. And I think that translation is certainly possible. It does not contradict the other one, but it goes beyond it. You see, to say that darkness does not overcome the light implies that there has been a struggle. The darkness hates the light and has always done its utmost to resist it, but, and this is what this other translation brings out very well, is the darkness did not ultimately succeed in putting out that light. The darkness did not overcome the light. And that is what we see illustrated in the life of Christ. He came into the world as the light of the world, and the world hated that light and did everything to extinguish it, yes. And it almost succeeded, you might say. Christ was crucified, and there hanging between heaven and earth, the struggle with the powers of sin and death were taking place. There Christ on the cross is engaged in a deadly battle with the prince of darkness. And it looks for a while as if the Son of Righteousness has gone down. Because he dies. He dies on the accursed tree in the thickest darkness, that 3-hour darkness during which Christ suffered the pains of hell. And now it looks as though Satan has triumphed. But it only seems that way. But what happens? Christ dies, yes, and he's buried. But on the third day he rises again. Easter morning comes. And Jesus breaks the bands of death and hell. He drives away the night of sin and guilt. And what is the result? Well, soon we hear Mary Magdalene stammer, "Rabboni, my master." And Thomas falls down at Jesus' feet sobbing, "My Lord and my God." And now it becomes true. Gloriously true what Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness, they have seen a great light." Mary and Thomas, Peter, Paul, James, and all God's people see the light and they rejoice in it. Why? Well, because that light has also triumphed in their life. It has triumphed over the darkness into which also God's children are born. Oh yes, yes. Also, God's people, they were once walking in darkness. Paul says it to the Ephesians. Once you walked in darkness, but now you walk in the light. The past of all God's children is the past of darkness. But Christ came into their life. And although they too resisted that light in varying degrees, the light of the gospel prevailed. Their resistance was broken. If you are a child of God, you know what I'm saying. What did it take the Lord to to help you overcome your resistance. By the Holy Spirit who works irresistibly in all whom He saves, then we may resist for a time, yes, with everything that is in us sometimes, fighting against the light of God's truth, because it exposes us in our sins, but that resistance ultimately is in vain. The Spirit shines into our lives in such a way that our resistance is broken and we fall down at the feet of God in full surrender. That is what salvation means. And that is what we all need. That the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit of Christ, shines into our darkness powerfully and irresistibly. And if that has not happened yet, ask the Holy Spirit to do that for you. To shine into your darkness powerfully and irresistibly. That uncovering work of the Holy Spirit is so necessary. So that you will see your sins for what they really are, sins against God. So that you will confess them to God and plead His mercy in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. And then that same light that first exposes you in your sins will also reveal to you the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died for sinners, who all love that darkness by nature. In Him is life and light and everything that you need for salvation. Outside of Christ. Yes, there are some people behind me yet. I almost forgot. But in Jesus Christ we can find everything that we need. But apart from Him, all is hopeless. Those who believe in Jesus receive eternal life and they begin to walk as children of light. Paul says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Maybe someone here is asking, how do I know whether that light has really shined into my life? You say that you've seen the light of God at times, but how can I be sure, you wonder, whether that is a true light? You see, because Satan also has a way of showing light. He's called the angel of light, and sometimes he can be so deceiving, so deceptive that we may mistake His light for the true light. And therefore discernment is very important. Well, this is the test. You have seen the true light if you have come to see yourself as living by nature in the darkness of sin. Now, I know that's a paradox. But all God's people experience this to a degree. They can all identify themselves with the psalmist who says, Lord, I wait for Thee to drive away my night. They see themselves as sitting in darkness and they cannot make their own light. Notional, or rather nominal Christians. Superficial Christians. Well, yeah, they have no problems with that. Like the people that I mentioned in Isaiah chapter 50. Read that chapter sometime. They walk in the light of their own fire and in the sparks that they themselves have kindled. But God's true people, they need light from another source. They need light from above, not from that which comes from within. The light of the world. Well, here's a promise for all those who see their need of that divine light to enlighten them. The people that walk in darkness shall see a great light. Now, in the Hebrew language, you can sometimes use both past or the present or even the future tenses. They are not so easily distinguished in Hebrew. And so you can say the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, which is true, but also shall see a great light. And that promise was fulfilled in the fullness of time when Jesus was born. But it is still being fulfilled today. Every time the Holy Spirit calls sinners to come out of that darkness into His, that is Christ's, marvelous light. In these dark December nights, we see many lights. They're all around us, in the malls, in the streets, and in many homes. Well, I said already that we should not be so opposed to that. But I do want to emphasize this, that we should also be looking for that true light, which alone can take away our darkness. I wait for God, the psalmist says. I wait for God, the Lord, and on His word my hope relies. My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise. I look for Him, for Jesus, to drive away my night, my personal individual night. What night means for other people, that is for them to deal with, but my own light, my own darkness. Yea, more than watchmen, look for morning light. You know, the Apostle Paul, he takes this whole story of the light and applies it to the believers of his time. I'm thinking of Ephesians, where he says, and this is for those who belong to Christ and who are His people. They also have to fight against the remaining darkness in their life. They have to fight against the temptations that are all around them. And he says in chapter 5, and walk in love. But let me begin with the first verse. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And then he lists all those terrible sins that were prevailing in that society, and which, of course, are very dominant today as well. Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for you. And then he goes on and says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Yes, the same apostle John, who wrote the words of our text, he also says in his first epistle, chapter 1, this is the message which we have heard from him, from Jesus, and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Yes, let us walk in light. Let us show also to others that we are children of light, who love the Lord, who love His word, who also love those who are still in darkness. And we show that love by pointing sinners to that light that is also the light of the Son of Righteousness, who brings healing in His wings. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.